some special effort, I'm sure, for some of you to be here. You had to clean your cars off and the roads. Some of them are not too good, but it shows that you have faith enough in God that you want to put forth the effort to be here and to worship God this morning. We appreciate Brother Jordan and Brother Bowen and leading the singing, the good prayer and the good Bible study we've had this morning. We've been edified and built up in the faith. We'd like to study this morning on the subject of Christian disposition. Disposition is the fixed qualities of one's nature or character. We're to be the person that God wants us to be. We're to have certain characteristics in being a Christian, a child of God. We're to have a pure heart and live a holy and righteous life. And so we want to study the Christian disposition this morning. The Christian's disposition is humble. A Christian is one who is humble in life, not one that is lifted up with pride, not one who goes around bragging on themselves what they have or what they have done, but we're to be a humble person. Humility leads us in submission to God, causing us to realize our lowliness and sinfulness. We need to realize that we're totally dependent upon God every second of our life. A person who is filled with pride is not willing to submit to God. They're going to do things their own way, and they don't really care what God wants. To the Greeks, humility was weak, it's weakness. It was despicable. But Jesus made it the cornerstone of character, to be a humble person. In Matthew 18, verse 1 through 4, says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus said the greatest in his kingdom are those who humble themselves as a little child. We know that some of the apostles wanted to hold high positions in the kingdom. They thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom. But Jesus taught that the greatest in his kingdom were those who were humble. Jesus is our example of humility. He was a very humble person. In Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto law, unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we see the humility in Jesus Christ. He took upon himself the form of man. Yes, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God the Son. He was in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Jesus, the Master, washed his disciples' feet. Just think of a master washing his slaves' feet. In John 13 and verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so he was so humble that he washed the disciples' feet. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And so pride will lead to a fall. A man by the name of Don King, he was a boxing promoter, he made this statement. He said, I'm the best boxing promoter in the world. And I say this humbly. How could he humbly brag about how great he was? And so it's not being humble to boast and brag about ourselves. And so we are to be a humble people. Also, the Christian disposition is kindness. Not only are we humble, but we're also to be a kind person. Kindness is the offspring of love. Where there's love, there is kindness. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And so love is kind. And so we as Christians are to be a kind, humble people, being gentle and being good to others. Christians are kind and friendly and gentle and tender-hearted. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, excuse me, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And so he says, be kind to one another. Kindness is active in doing things for others. If I'm kind to others, I'm going to be doing things for others and helping others in any way that we can. Kindness overcomes evil. It returns good for evil. Sometimes it's not easy for us to be kind to someone who is evil or mistreating us. Many times we want to get back at someone. But Jesus teaches us that we're to be kind even to those who are evil. In Romans 12, verse 20 and 21, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I've had allergies for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I've taken about 3 different kinds of medicine, but I'm still having problems with drainage. But he says, be overcome of evil with good. The Good Samaritan is a good example of one who was kind to another. Yes, he'd helped a man who was beaten and robbed. And the priest, the Levite, they went by on the other side. They refused to be kind and help the man that had been robbed. But the Samaritan had compassion on him. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Here is an example of kindness, being active in doing what was good and right in helping his fellow man. The Samaritans and the Jews would have no dealings with one another. But here was a Samaritan that stopped to help this man that had been beaten and robbed. The best way to get even with one who has wronged you is to pull him up to where you are, not to lower yourself down to his level. And so if we try to get even with someone, then we're stooping down to their level. But let's try to raise them up to our level. Overcome evil with good. In Colossians 3 and verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And so a Christian is humble and is kind. Also, the Christian disposition is forgiving. We're to be willing to forgive others when they have mistreated us. Forgiveness is the scent that flowers give when trampled on. Yes, Jesus prayed in John 6 and verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so for us to refuse to forgive, then God is not willing to forgive us. Jesus teaches that we're to forgive, that no limit of time should be set on our forgiveness. You know, sometimes a person might do something against us, and then shortly they do it again, and maybe then again. And many times we lose patience with them, and we think, well, if you're going to keep on doing that, I'm not going to forgive you. But notice what Jesus said in Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And so Jesus said we're to continue to forgive that person. If they repent, he says, and ask your forgiveness. Some say, I never forgive. I get even. This is the attitude of a lot of people. That person will never go to heaven unless they repent of this sin. We must open the door of forgiveness and keep it open. We must not hold grudges or malice in our hearts toward others. When God forgives, He blots out the sin and He remembers them no more. Yes, He wipes the slate clean when He forgives us of our sins. When we obeyed the gospel, the blood of Jesus cleansed us from all our past sins, and not one of those sins will be held against us. And as Christians, as we repent and pray and confess our sins, God is willing to forgive us our sins. And He blots out those sins. To hold a grudge is a sign of a little mind and a stunted personality. There's something wrong with us if we refuse to forgive another person. We should try to live so people won't hold grudges against us. Jesus forgave those who crucified Him. Yes, they had beaten Him over and over. They nailed Him to the cross. And as He hung there on the cross, in Luke 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted their raiment and cast lots. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Notice Stephen, he was preaching, and they stoned him. And he forgave those who were throwing stones at him. In Acts 7, verse 59 and 60, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lay not this sin to their charge. He was willing to forgive those who threw stones at him, and he died as a result. Before God will forgive us, we must be willing to forgive others. Sometimes there's Christians that will not forgive, maybe even their father. Maybe their father had not treated them right as they grew up, and they refused to have anything to do with their father. They refused to forgive. Sometimes brothers and sisters will have arguments, and they feud and fuss and fight for many, many years. And sometimes they even forget why they started their fuss. And so let's not hold grudges and malice toward others. Let's have an open door of forgiveness to those who sin against us. Also, the Christian is peaceable in disposition. Yes, a peaceable person. We're to strive to prevent contention, strife, and war. Sometimes in congregations there's war and strife, contention. And as Christians, we should try to stop this in any way that we can. In Matthew 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are we peacemakers or are we troublemakers? A Christian is a peacemaker. In Romans 12 and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as possible, he says, live peaceably with all men. We should use our influence to reconcile those who are quarreling and fighting and try to make peace. And so a Christian's disposition is peaceable. We should be careful that we don't get involved in things that are none of our business and do more harm than good. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And so many times we can prevent something from happening. It's better to nip a problem in the bud. When a quarrel goes on for a long time, it's harder to settle. And so let's try to nip it in the bud. Let's be peacemakers. God is the author of peace, and those who endeavor to promote peace are like him and are worthy to be called his children. In Romans 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And so let's make peace. Let's edify one another. If our aim is to obey God and be faithful, we're working for peace and unity in the church. But if we seek to promote our own private ends, to follow our own prejudice, then we're going to cause strife. Yes, in years past, in congregations that I've been, I've saw a lot of strife, a lot of arguing and fussing, and some brethren, their attitude was not right. The love was not there that should have been for one another. A man said, well, I'm going home. If my wife doesn't have a good meal cooked, I'm going to raise the roof. If she does, I'm going to eat a bite. And so he had his mind made up that he was going to get after his wife if she didn't have the meal prepared. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Live in peace. The God of peace will be with us. Also, the Christian has a grateful disposition. A Christian is one who is very thankful, thankful to God and thankful for his family and for Christians. Be thankful for Jesus and our salvation. Be thankful for all the blessings that we receive each day. Yes, when we get up in the morning, we should be thankful that we're able to get up and to get out of bed and do those things that we need to do. As the song goes, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And this will cause us, keep us from being filled with anxiety and worry. Count your blessings. In Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Are we thankful to your wife and to your husband, your children, your family, brothers and sisters in Christ? In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Yes, there's a good side to everything. Jesus cleansed 10 lepers, but only one of them returned to thank Jesus. Only one out of 10 was grateful that Jesus had healed them of leprosy. In Luke 17, verse 15 through 17, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? This Samaritan, the others must have been Jews. But he was thankful that he was healed of this dread disease of leprosy. Note, they all had the same disease. They were all unclean. They came to the same person, Jesus. They all cried out for mercy. They were all told to obey. They all received the same blessing, but only one returned to thank Jesus, the Samaritan. One showed gratitude. Do we show gratitude for the things that are done for us? Let us be thankful and count our many blessings. Also, the Christian disposition, the Christian personality is easily entreated. That is, we're not to be stubborn, self-willed. We're to be submissive, compliant, to be easily persuaded. Of course, this refers only to cases where it's right to be easily persuaded and complying. When it comes to doing what's wrong, certainly we're not to be easily persuaded. In Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so if we esteem others better than myself, then I'm going to be easily entreated. Be submissive, compliant, easily persuaded. We must not take a position and then hold it whether right or wrong. Some people are so stubborn, even though when they find out they're wrong, they won't admit it. They're going to stand in being wrong. We must be ready to yield when truth requires us to do so. Yes, if we're wrong on something, we need to admit it. We need to correct that wrong. In James 3 and verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The New King James Version has the word willing to yield instead of easy to be entreated. Willing to yield. Sometimes we need to yield. It's like this one brother, and he came in late to a business meeting. He says, whatever you've been talking about, I'm against it. Yes, he made up his mind before he went to the meeting. Sometimes we are to yield, to be easily entreated. Maybe our brother's idea is better than ours. Some are so stubborn they won't change even when they know that they're wrong. Also, the Christian disposition is tolerant, to be tolerant of one another. When we love others, we're tolerant with them, patient, forbearing. You love your children, you're patient with them. You're tolerant of their actions. Our animals, your dogs or cats, sometimes you have to tolerate some of their actions that maybe you don't like. Sometimes people may do things that bother us, but we're to be tolerant of them, be patient with them. Some people develop eye strain looking for the faults of others. The worst fault is for us not to see our own faults. One person said, I think I could see my faults if I had any. Yes, he didn't think he had any. Jesus tells us not to be hypocrites. In Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so let's examine ourselves, our own lives. Let's get the beam out of our eyes. Then we can help our brother with that mote or small thing that's in his eye. When a brother does a certain thing, it's a sin. But to us, it's simply a mistake. If we're harsh, harshness in others is frankness in ourselves. Selfishness in others is thrift in ourselves. And so let's be careful how we judge others. We will be judged as we judge others. Also, the Christian's disposition is fair. Be fair to others. Be fair with one another. We know that life is not always fair. There's things that's going to happen that's not fair. Christians have cancer, heart attacks, different diseases. The children might be born with some handicap, and it's not fair, but we have to live with that. The golden rule demands that we be fair with others. In Matthew 7, verse 12, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And so let's treat other people in a way that we want to be treated. Some people have one rule for you, another for themselves. Children, when playing, will say, "Well, that's not fair. You're not playing by the rules." Then we must follow the rules of God, the ones that He has given. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others." Let's be considerate of others. Let's be fair to others. Also, the Christian must be courageous. Yes, Christ doesn't want any cowards in His army. We're soldiers in the army of Christ, and we're to be brave and courageous. It takes a lot of courage to be a faithful Christian. We must stand for the truth and right. In Jude, the third verse tells us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Stephen had great courage when he preached and they were throwing stones at him and he died. In Acts 7, 57 through 60, there was Stephen calling upon God saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." When he had said this, he fell asleep. He had a lot of courage there to being stoned. Paul was beaten several times, stoned, had all kinds of perils. It took a lot of courage to do the things the Apostle Paul did. The early Christians were beaten. They were put in prison. Many of them were put to death for the cause of Christ. Yes, they had courage. In Acts 4, verse 17 through 21, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot bespeak the things which we have seen and heard." Yes, Peter and the apostles were saying that we're going to obey God rather than man. It took courage when they were being threatened. They were put in prison. We're to love good and hate evil. Psalms 97 and verse 10. "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Psalms 119, 104. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." And so if we hate error, we hate that which is false, it's going to take courage in our part to stand up against it. We must have the courage to stand for the right church, the church that Jesus built, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Stand up for the truth. Jesus has His church and His doctrine, and we must stand for that which is right. We must keep His commandments, showing our love for Him. Have the courage to live a faithful Christian life. Stand up for the truth. Be strong and of good courage. Yes, the disposition of a Christian. Yes, the Christian's disposition is humble. Be a humble person. Be kind. Be forgiving. Be peaceable. Be grateful. Easily entreated. Tolerant. fair and courageous. Yes, these are some of the things that we're to have in living the Christian life. To let our light shine before others so that others will see our light and want to become children of God. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Become a child of God. Jesus loved you. He gave his life and died on the cross so that you might be saved from your sins. But it's up to you to obey the gospel, to do the will of God that you might be saved. You must have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must repent of your sins. Turn away from sins to God. Make that good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized to wash away your sins. The blood will cleanse you. Your sins will be forgiven. The Lord will add you to his church, and be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?